The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, everybody. Producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Live from Bar Canada here at the D. Or in Spanish, Bar Canada, the barrage.
That's right. It's going to be a crowded shield this morning.
Crowded shield. Steve Fezzik will be here.
Matt Grissom.
Both will be here on the shield.
That's right.
Can't say in studio, Kelly. Say on the shield, as you said.
Shield.
Shield table. Do you need a shield table in your house, by the way? We've got one for you. Actually, we shouldn't get rid of this because then what happens?
Right. Yeah. Shut up.
We are always thrilled to have this young lady on the show with us as well. It's VSiN's own Stormy Bonatoni coming to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Talk some UFL with us. What's happening, Stormy?
Well, I'm sorry that I'm not out there on the shield with you. I'll be in downtown in a couple of hours, though, and slow news day. So, of course, we want the UFL, right? Yeah, there we go.
Very slow news day. Where are you headed this weekend, by the way, for the UFL?
I'm headed out to St. Louis, which is always nice when I get to go there because they have far and away the best environment in the league. They get 30,000 plus at all of those home games. So that'll be fun. And coincidentally, it's a rematch of the last game that I did before I went to Alaska for a week and a half randomly. I had this trip planned prior to the USFL-XFL merger where the schedule would have been over by the time I was going on this vacation, but it was with my whole family, so I had to go. And so I just randomly missed 2 weeks of the UFL season. I had St. Louis, D.C. before I left, and I have them again now that I'm back, so we're ready to go.
Oh, wow. Okay. By the way, how was Alaska? Did you love it?
Unbelievable. I'm a desert girl born and raised in the city of Las Vegas, so that's not exactly a trip that was on my radar of, yes, please take me to snow. It was all my husband's idea, and we had the best freaking time. Dude, we went on a helicopter to a glacier, and we're dog sledding. If you have not been to Alaska, absolutely make the trip, even if it doesn't sound like your thing. It is so cool and unique.
Kelly, you seem like a dog sledder. You should go.
To Alaska for 4 years when I was a kid.
That's right. You lived in Anchorage for 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
You dog sled?
I was a little wee lad. I went back there I was talking to Stormy the other day. I was back there 8 years ago, did a little fishing trip with my dad. We did some dog sledding.
Wow.
Salmon fishing, dog sledding. It's a great time. I'm with Stormy. You got to go.
All right. Well, make some time. Okay, let's talk about futures first before we get to your game thoughts here. Once again, we are 7 games through the UFL season, 10 total. The Birmingham Stallions, there's a USFL division and there's an XFL division, as Kelly pointed out last time.
Doesn't feel very united.
Thank you. Birmingham Stallions, 7-0. They are the juggernaut of the UFL. They are atop the USFL division. And then there are 3 teams that are 1-6. So, there's a wide gap here. Birmingham is the short shot, or the favorite, I should say, to win the UFL. They're minus 145. But then the aforementioned St. Louis Battlehawks, Stormy will be watching them this weekend. They're plus 230. Then you got the Brahmas at 8-1, the Panthers of Michigan at 9-1. Everybody else is long beyond that. Is there value here anywhere, Stormy?
You know, it's funny. I've been trying to tell people for weeks and weeks and weeks, grab Birmingham while they're plus money, while you can. It's going away. It's going away. It's going away. And now it's gone. They're minus 145. But as you said, they're a juggernaut. They're the class of the conference. I would find it truly hard to believe that they would lose just based on the way that they've been playing throughout the entire course of the season. They're literally coming off They're coming off their worst game of the season, with the exception of maybe the weird weather delay game they had against DC earlier this year, and they still won. They haven't lost a game in over a calendar year. You go through the stats, they lead the UFL in total yards per game, number one in passing and rushing offense, averaging 28.7 points per game. Okay, well, if their offense is really good, maybe their defense takes a little bit of a step back. They're allowing the fewest yards and points per game. They're the best run defense by a mile. They do everything, and they do everything well. So in terms of value, nobody wants to lay a number on a futures bet, but I think they're going to win. They're going to play Michigan in the USFL conference semifinal, and I kind of feel like it's like the Miracle on Ice speech where it's like they might play us 10 times and they'll win 9 or whatever the line is. If they played each other 10 times, I think Birmingham would win at 9. So how do you value that in terms of them making the UFL championship, And then the Battlehawks are certainly the team that I would give the best, you know, the team that would give Birmingham the best run for their money, I would think. That's obviously who they just played this past weekend, had a chance to win with 40 seconds to play. But I have some concerns from a health standpoint, and I'll have a conversation with their head coach, Anthony Becht, in a few hours after I'm off the air on my show today. But AJ McCarron, during the broadcast of this past week's game, like said, I think my ankle's broken at one point. And at practice this week, he did not practice, and he was limited at practice another day. Brandon Silvers is his backup. He played at Troy. He played with the Houston Roughnecks a year ago. So as far as backups go in the league, he's experienced. But that's a big cause for concern if I'm somebody with a Battlehawks ticket right now.
Okay. Stallions minus 145. Not a prohibitive price, though. That sounds still tempting. Okay, let's get to this week's games. First of all, has the league, sorry to ask you this awkward question, has the league been happy with the ratings on these? How's it doing? The league itself?
I think largely yes, especially given the time of year, like I mentioned, with the league being pushed back. Like, they're up against the NBA and NHL postseason each and every weekend that they're doing this. They had the NCAA tournament to go up against at the start of the season. So because the league was pushed back, they're not in the most ideal time slots for a lot of these games. And they've been head to head with a lot of things that you wouldn't typically want to be. But I think viewership overall has been better. It's been up since they combined leagues as well. And you don't have competing entities in spring football.
Okay, so game by game here this weekend, you don't have to, if you don't have much of a thought, we can just run through it. But on Saturday, Michigan, the Panthers are 9.5-point favorites against the Memphis Showboats. And then we have, oh man, about the most disparate matchup you could have, the 7-0 Stallions, 17-point favorites against the 1-6 Houston Roughnecks. Any thoughts on either of those?
I don't love the idea of laying that type of a point spread in a spring football game. But I will say, just from a betting standpoint, double-digit favorites in the league are 2-0 straight up and ATS. Large favorites, 6 points or greater, 8-1 straight up, 7-2 against the spread. So, like, those favorites have covered. None have been this large. This is the largest spread by far that we have seen throughout the course of the year. And after I just raved about everything Birmingham, Houston's in an extremely different position. They're eliminated from the playoffs. They had a crushing loss to San Antonio last week, who, by the way, is 5-2, and they are such a paper tiger. Like, they are not good. There are three of those games that very easily should have been losses. Two they won on, like, the late game comebacks with, you know, 3 minutes down, they're down double digits and they somehow find a way to win. And I feel like those instances were more the other team losing more than it was them winning. Neither here nor there. Houston's really bad. I see a very similar result to the first time they played, which was a 32-9 loss. I just don't know if I want to lay 16 or 17 points in a game like this.
Yeah. And nothing on Memphis, Michigan, nothing there.
Not particularly. Danny Etling, recovering from an injury on his non-throwing hand, looks like he'll be out again. Bryce Perkins and Brian Lewerke got the job done without him. Their run game is really, really good. I would feel more comfortable than not laying 8.5 with the Michigan Panthers in this spot. They're on a 3-game win streak, which began compliments of a 35-18 win in Memphis. And I think they should probably have a similar result at home.
Okay. And then Sunday, the game you'll be attending and reporting with St. Louis, 8.5-point favorites, hosting the DC Defenders, and San Antonio, 4-point favorites against Arlington.
So I have some questions, like I said, about St. Louis. And so, unfortunately, I'll find out those answers later on this afternoon when I have my meetings with their coaching staff. But the last time these two played, when I was on the sideline, it got ugly for DC fast in the second half. They ended up losing 45-12. The Battlehawks have been on a cover tear. They started the season 0-2 ATS. They've covered 5 straight games, including this past game against Birmingham. I'm just not sure what to do with it given the injury situation. And Defenders quarterback Jordan Ta'amu on the other side, he had a concussion last week. He's been limited in practice as well. So a lot of unknowns.
Okay. And we'll leave San Antonio Arlington aside as well. We don't want to touch that.
Oh, no, we do.
Oh, we do.
The Arlington Renegades got their first win of the season last week And I love them getting points. So the spread I see right now is 3.5. I don't know what you guys have. I would take that all day. I think they're significantly better than their record shows. And I know that's so awful to say, but they're a top three team in the league offensively. They are, I think, second in the UFL in takeaways. So for all their defensive struggles, they do get ample opportunities to get the ball back. And I just told you, I think the Brahmas are a paper tiger. They have potential to cement a spot in the postseason if DC loses and they win. So I don't want to take a Renegades money line play, but I think that they'll certainly keep it very, very close and have this be a game that comes down to the last couple minutes potentially.
All right, Arlington catching 4, actually. So even better. Stormy likes Arlington plus the 4. Against the Brahmas of San Antonio. UFL play of the week.
I'm staring at a 2.5.
I got 4 right there. Yeah,
4, 3.5, fire away, I think.
Gentlemen, shop around.
Make up your own number. All right, before you go, 30-second story. By the way, I love the ad you do, the promo you do, where you're like, that's what we're here for. I love that, by the way. It's great. So I'm going to put you on the spot, because I know you're a hockey girl, too. Do you have any hockey thoughts here down the stretch?
Really, like, I'm so this, you're putting me on the spot, because I loved the Canes to come back and win yesterday. And I thought that they might rally to win the series against the Rangers, and that the President's Trophy curse was going to get them. And then Chris Kreider does what Chris Kreider did last night. So any of my hopes that the Canes were going to come out of that as a plus money price are donezo, unfortunately.
Yeah, Kreider with a third period hat trick. Great Rangers comeback last night against the Hurricanes. Sorry about that, Stormy, with the Hurricanes. Thank you. Safe travels to St. Louis.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
Stormy Bonantoni will be on Lombardi Line here an hour after we're done. Right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll come back. We will talk about so many things. Steve Fezzik will be here as well. But first, baseball college with Matt Grissom.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live at Bar Canada here at the D. Don't forget to check out our new website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. Check it out. Each and every day. And by the way, if you go to VSiN.com right now, Kelly, any sport under the sun you can possibly conjure up.
Yeah.
Pimlico, of course, Preakness Stakes, Mike Somich front and center with that. WNBA with Tyler Shoemaker, all NFL schedule release stuff. Zachary Cohen all over both the Italian Open and French Open. I believe I owe him a French Open blurb or two.
There you go.
And then
got some hard-hitting betting advice for me on taking Scottie Scheffler from last night, and nothing's happened between then and now, that's for sure.
Scottie Scheffler, birdie, bogey, birdie to start his round, 10, 11, and 12. So he's back to 5-under, 4 shots behind the first-round leader, Xander Schauffele, who has yet to tee off. Xander Schauffele will tee off in about 23 minutes. So a hectic morning for Scottie Scheffler, which we went through the timeline on blow-by-blow. Also, a hectic first 3 holes. Birdie, bogey,
yes,
birdie.
Yes.
We had tweets of beating the book real quick. Let me do these real quick. This is from Los Vegas 514. Yo, you and Young Kelly, stay classy. Great job this morning. Banshees of Atlantic City, submitted without comment. He's talking about the governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, who 18 hours ago tweeted out, the eyes of the world are on our great Commonwealth once again. Let's welcome them to our new Kentucky home with the kindness and hospitality. Hospitality we're known for.
We tried.
We tried. X Prime, y'all wild in Kentucky, he said. There's that Michael Eaves report, which Derby Day Day is responding to. Michael Eaves reporting from the Scottie Scheffler police report again that the arresting officer, Brian Gillis, saying that Scheffler disobeyed his orders and then dragged him to the ground with his car, causing injuries to the officer in his clothing. And Derby Day Day's response was, case in point, how police department often embellishes, in parentheses, lies about incidents that could be resolved with clear communication and professional de-escalation. He says, SS is a man of impeccable character, and the thought of him dragging a police officer with a car is beyond the pale. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some college baseball. We have hit some big bets over the years on college baseball, but we're thrilled to have this gentleman in studio because he is doing with college baseball what someone should have done a long time ago, and he's filling a vacuum, getting the stats that we need. It's Matt Grissom, everybody, at the Shield. How you doing, man?
I can't complain. It was a great night last night. 5-1 in my best bets. Got to beat Jeff Davis up over at Circa a little bit, but Yeah, happy to be here. Happy to be covering. Hey, it's a friendly duel we have with each other. And then if he posted a number that's better at Boyd, I'll go beat up on Boyd and try to get banned there. But it's fun. College baseball has been something I've been really passionate about for several years and have had a lot of success. And we just continue to grow it, trying to get the word out there about collegebaseballinsiders.com.
So you can be found on Twitter at Grissom on X, GRISSOM on X. And again, you just mentioned NCAA Insiders. What was, by the way, Matt, where are you from? Where do you live? Where's the
accent? I live in Conway, Arkansas.
Conway, Arkansas. When did you first get the idea? I get it. You're into college baseball. But when were you like, okay, this is great and everything, but people need to have stats, and there is nowhere to go get them. When did you decide, I'm going to be that guy?
About 6 months ago. That was something that – you can go to D1 Baseball. They do a great job with stats. All of their advanced analytics is behind a paywall, which is kind of silly to me that you would have to pay $139 a year to get advanced stats, XFIP, Sierra, weighted runs created plus. But even further than that, we just wanted to open it up because if something is free, if something's ad-free, it's going to grow, right? I feel like we're in the phase of it's Facebook. We're cool right now. Let's not add ads and do all that. So we're giving people a tool for free to use. We've got a matchup projector. It would be nice if DraftKings would post the odds, though, so we could actually use the website. But you can go look at the homepage has scoreboard with all the daily matchups. Another big thing that's really hard to find in college baseball is starting pitchers. That really is, you know, when you're getting 6 or 7 innings out of a guy, especially like last night with Hagen Smith going, you know, he had 14 strikeouts. Dude is being compared to this year's Paul Skeens. So when you know the starting pitcher, that is what you anchor your whole handicap around. So what we do is kind of like you and Basewinner were talking about with the advanced analytics, we put out a projector that gives you projected runs to try to get at least to 6.5 runs. That's what we've got it correlated to right now. And then from there, you get a win probability. And it's actually pretty successful, as basic as it sounds, using Sierra, XFIP, and weighted runs created.
It's amazing.
It's hitting at like 64%.
That's so great. What you're referring to is I referred to this the other day, how we used to do that in Major League Baseball. But 5, 6, 7 years ago, that's all you needed to do.
Right.
That's a long time gone in pro baseball, obviously. So collegebaseballinsiders.com. This is awesome because as soon as you talked about how you don't even know what the pitchers are sometimes, we found this during the College World Series, right? Like so much of the handicap is all right. And this was with LSU last year. This was with Ole Miss the year before, trying to figure out, all right, well, are they holding this particular ace? Are they holding their number two back for this game? Yeah. What's going to happen? So part of that is that puzzle. And it was just so difficult to navigate through that. So this is a priceless tool here for us. So right now, as we look at the College World Series, futures market, Tennessee is the short shot at plus 550. A&M 6-1, Arkansas 7-1, and then Wake Forest leads the double digits with 10-1 odds. Everybody longer than that. Is there a value play currently, sir?
I think taking Wake Forest is still valuable. You could get them 12-1. I think I gave it out last weekend. North Carolina is another team that I really like. They did drop the game to Duke last night. They're playing in a really big series. It's number 7 versus number 11. The ACC as a whole, I feel like they're just kind of like the SEC, just a step below. They're going to cannibalize each other. The record, don't really look at the overall record too much. What we do have, and I hate to keep promoting the website.
Please
do. If you go back to the website, Insiders Power Ratings, we have everything correlated to weighting their recent success, which we know a team can get hot. We saw it with Ole Miss a couple years ago. Congratulations, by the way, on that ticket.
Thank you. That was quite the run.
But right now, we've got Tennessee ranked at the very top of our Insiders Power Ratings.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then,
they do.
And then you get Georgia. If you look at that board, there's no Georgia. So
no
that
Georgia
leads me to
there.
Believe they're on down the board. They're number 2 in our rankings, followed by Texas A&M, Wake Forest, Arkansas. So as you can see, it's somewhat correlated to the odds right now. But Georgia is a team that's really trending up. They're 9-1 in their last 10.
Wow.
Charlie Condon, he's going to be your Golden Spikes winner. The kid is I thought he would have a little bit of a sophomore slump. No, he is absolutely insane.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Georgia is definitely a team I feel like is worth a flyer. And then if you've got the market to make the College World Series, I like them as well in that one.
The only bet I have this year is FSU. I got them at 35-1. They're 18-1 right now. I don't see them at a glance.
They are.
When did that happen? You made an FSU bet?
They're 14th.
You remember.
I remember that.
Yes, because you were like, let's talk about FSU and the College World Series, and I kept putting it off. Remember that?
No, don't.
Yeah, we had these off air. We had these discussions. Yeah, 35-1. It's right around after the Super Bowl.
Jamie Arnold, he's their ace. Yeah. He's solid. They're 5-5 in their last five. Their last 10, though. That's not a trend I want to go. But here's the anomaly that I can't figure out. Kentucky, they're, what, the sixth shortest shot? Dave, we've got them 13th. They keep winning these games, but the advanced analytics would say that they're due to regress. I'm tired of losing money on betting them. They keep doing it. They took, Vanderbilt to the woodshed last night. I mean, just all around great team, but they don't do anything great. They've got several guys that are, you know, low fours, high threes, ERA. Hit a lot of home runs either.
So Wake Forest, you say there's value on it. Little North Carolina and Georgia. Georgia 25-1, which you have second in your rankings. Okay, and then is there any play tonight, today, or this weekend in college baseball for you?
I would love to put out some plays, but I don't think we have odds on anything.
I don't think we do either.
Refreshing it.
That's the problem with this, right? Like, it's just and then they'll appear and only at certain shops.
Exactly. That's why the team I work with, Quentin Mills, Todd Smith, and Nick Dimmitt, he's our website guy. Nick is, and he does a phenomenal job. They're hanging out waiting on odds so that they can get the scoreboard up with all the starting pitchers. So we've already got them all listed out, just ready to roll whenever the odds come out.
So here's the thing. We got to have you on multiple times up through the College World Series. When we made our Ole Miss bets, it was during conference tournament play. Do you believe that's a nice strike zone which to make bets?
It depends, because I feel like that's why we use the last 10. So a team that is trending hot, they may cool down in the tournament, especially if they have already got a national seed locked up.
That's why we wait.
Now, Ole Miss, they were in a case where they had to win. And when they started winning, they didn't stop.
Remember, they almost got eliminated because there was weather in Miami, too. We had to avoid a hurricane as well.
That was a weird regional, but definitely the most profitable time of the year.
We will have you on many times. Matt Grissom, once again, collegebaseballinsiders.com.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thanks, guys.
Good to see you. Matt Grissom. We'll give way to Steve Fezzik on the shield here. We'll talk some NFL with him as he escapes the security at the Gold Nugget. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG, as in a numbers game, where we're slashing prices left and right this spring.
That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. That's your used car salesman. $199.
That's right.
Promo code ANG. We're here at Bar Canada at the D. Matt Grissom, by the way. Shout out to Matt for hanging out with us.
Oh, awesome. Tweets into the show all the time. Oh. Great college baseball. And we were talking about the website last week, but that's...
Bro, that is gold.
Yeah.
Gold. Like, I'm just looking at his thing. I'm like, oh, you have Georgia second? They're 25-1? Okay. It's enough for me. But the problem is, again, with the individual games, you just don't know when they're going up, and it's only certain shops. But, man, it's getting to be that time of year.
I was talking to Stormy about that yesterday, too. Same thing, UFL. Like, that's, we were on the phone yesterday. She's like, wow, I'm still waiting for numbers to be posted.
Yeah, there is that. Always a pleasure to have this gentleman here at the Shield as well at Bar Canada at the D. He's the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. You can find him on Sharp Money with Patrick and Dustin all the time. It's Steve Fezzik, everybody. How you doing, Fez?
I love the legal discussions that occur. Next time you have the lawyer guy on,
yeah.
I want you to ask that Alabama coach that famously texted his friend, "Hey, our star pitcher's not pitching. You know, get down against us."
Yeah.
How is that not illegal? Like, you got fired, but you haven't heard anything. I don't know if there's a crime being committed. I bet it will be illegal within a few years, right?
That is a great point.
It's a great question. Crossings, and is it different if it's crossing state lines or not crossing state lines?
That's how they always get you with that. Racketeering, you go in the slammer. Yeah.
There was a guy in my high school. It's a true story. He ended up on America's Most Wanted. It's a true story. He tried to kill his dad for insurance money. He ended up on America's Most Wanted. You know what his real crime was? He crossed the Maryland D.C. border. Like, that's what made it into a federal offense. If he stayed in one state, it would be, "Oh, that's fine. You're just in Maryland. It's
small
good.
Fine."
Yeah, small fine. Small fine. Yeah.
Everybody hates their dad down again.
Yeah. By the way, 30 years in a white collar prison is what ended up happening. Okay. I have to ask you several questions, because we talked about you yesterday on the show because you were kind enough to give us the plays that you made week one of the NFL. By the way, $80 fine for past posting some of those.
Times five? Are there five multiple counts? Hey, after we got done with tennis, you know, I felt like they had to hook me up with an IV, so I'm just happy to be alive after Gilly and I, Gilly made me play a second full set against him and crushed me.
I was worried about Steve's health at one point there. I was like, "Are you going to be okay?"
Steve, he could talk big. He was worried about you. You were hitting shots. I don't think he wasn't expecting. You were throwing the old changeup when he thought a fastball was coming. He couldn't keep up with it.
I am, like, in Major League, I am that pitcher that has, like, the Vaseline up his sleeve and stuff. I'll put Vaseline on a ball if I need that point really, really bad, whatever it takes. But, yeah, the little dunk shot down the line with the forehand. When Gil and I play, it's fascinating because – There are a lot of winners when we're playing, and that's why Wishnev is ducking both of us back in Pittsburgh. I want you, Wishnev. You can hide, but we're here.
So anyway, about the football. So I don't know, I got to Wishnev, but he is ducking us. So I also shared a more macro statement that a philosophy you had about week one lines, having to do with totals. Not just week ones, but you believe in betting unders now versus betting overs now, later betting overs. Explain that to us.
Yeah, so bottom line is last year the scoring average was about 44, all right? Now, famously, weeks one and two are lower scoring by about a point and a half. And so if you look at the cumulative average, if you look at these totals, it's like there are no totals in the 30s. And there are totals that opened, you know, in the low 50s. So you do the average, and it's like they across the board look to be a little bit too high. Now, someone will say, you know, there's kickoff change rule.
Kickoff rules, yeah.
And so for those who've been under a rock and don't know, so it's kind of like the spring football rules used to be, where both teams going to line up on the receiving team side of the ball, you know, 10 yards away. They're going to kick the ball. No one can move. No one can move.
That's the big thing.
Until the ball is received. You kick it in the end zone, you get it in the 30 now. So what's going to happen, if you're a left-footed kicker that can kick a corkscrew, line drive, kickoff that's like spinning uncontrollably and land it right around the five, you have yourself a job kicking off in the NFL now. But I think the average starting point will be like the 28. So I do think scoring's going to go up a little, but across the board, look to play unders right now, weeks one and two. And I think selectively there will be value. Like Miami Jacksonville's at 49.5 some spots. I like that under.
That was first thing that jumped out to me too. As we were just when those lines came down.
Yeah, you mentioned this.
Well, you're looking at sides, and then I don't bet a ton of totals, Steve. But you just think back to what we went through last season, like you're talking about, so many totals in the 30s, and you're just like, what am I looking at here overall? Like you said, it just all felt a little bit too high to me at first glance.
Possible rookie quarterbacks, you know, mm-hmm. be game management, you know, be careful. And also, like, on a hot, sweltering day in college football, I don't really know why. In college football, the defense gets gassed. And I think it's because the offensive linemen in college aren't as big in the NFL. In the NFL, they're like dinosaurs, brontosauruses, and they just can't move. It's like me after we got done in tennis. They're moving so slow. They're going into the shade. And it's like, all right. We cannot run a hurry up with these guys. They're done.
Let me just ask you a broader question, though. So people know you from this show. They know you from Sharp Money. They know you from general media that you do. What part of your, and they know you to be a successful bettor. What part of your, I don't know if this is the right way to ask it, of your, of the way that you approach sports betting? Because most people are like, the average sports bettor is listening to this and they're going, wow, this dude is making week one bets in May. You don't blink at that. You see an opportunity, you see an edge, you play it, you're okay to wait that long. The average bettor doesn't do that. Would you say to the average bettor that you ought to do that? Or is that just unrealistic? Because the average person's life, that's not the way their betting brain works.
This is going to be dangerous. So the average bettor has a small betting bankroll, so they can't tie up their money.
Right.
All right. However, they probably also have money invested, quite a few people, and they've got maybe money in a bond fund. Well, that bond fund's going to earn, what, 6% over the course of a year? So think about that, as opposed to being able to put it into a future and have a higher or a week one bet that you're only tying up your money for 4 months that has a 6% return on investment. So example, Detroit's playing the Rams. You can lay Detroit minus three, lay $1.15. That bet will not be there in a couple of days. It's like it cannot be there. The Rams are like average or just barely above average, and Detroit is a contender, and Detroit is home. It's like everyone knows Detroit has value there except for, you know, the books that are hanging that number. And then the question is, well, Steve Fezzik, how come you haven't bet $50,000 on Detroit? It's much more difficult to get down. Even in the NFL, there's this perception, oh, you can just bet $100,000. I'll take whatever you want. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's gotten to be very difficult to bet anything substantial, even in the NFL, on early lines and the like.
And you would argue, I guess the extension of this is you would argue that that is a more sound bet, therefore, to get a, you will have the best of it more often than not doing it this way in football, that's a more sound wager than anything you could do in the stock market, for instance.
Well, then I could do. Now, someone who's really adept in investing in the stock market is like probably laughing, like, oh, Bitcoin's going down right, today, right. Right? And I know because of this factor, but I'm unaware of those factors. So for me, it's what I'm best at.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
I also think Bitcoin is a specific thing, right? So I don't know that that's a fair comp.
I think that's overall, though, like that's a conversation with, like I have with friends, right, who are bettors, who are always giving me stock market advice and stuff. It's like, well, this is where I'm more comfortable at. That's where you're more comfortable.
Have you actually tracked this? Have you gone back and seen, okay, me doing this months in advance, getting what I perceive will be the best of it, have you gone back and actually graded these?
No, because, and here's why. here's why. I literally never lose, okay, betting season wins and the like. And I go back to, there's a guy who runs around town, David Kaufman. He's like 105, okay? And he's got this big computer bag. He doesn't own a computer. He's got sheets everywhere stuffed around. And all he does, he walks in, they're idiots. You know, I got Green Bay over 9.5 and under 10 plus $1.05. And he's got all these middles that are constantly like profitable middles that you have to have the edge in, like in baseball. Like the Washington Nationals, you could get over 66 and under 69 at the same time,
right,
at two different books. And it's like, you are not going to lose with portfolios like that. And I'd be more than happy if someone's like, Fez, he's just blowing up smoke. You know, it's like, hey, you can ask Jeff Benson. He'll be more than hell happy to say Steve's doing just fine despite donking off 40 grand famously on Purdue.
Gil, we just talked about a UFL game, right, where we just saw.
Well, we're watching a game this week. We had like 1.5-point difference through, I guess, what is a key number.
2.5 and a 4.
Let me just ask you. I just need a 5-second answer to this. What is more enjoyable for you, winning money or calling people dumbos? What's more?
Oh, dumbo.
Okay, that's what I want. Just curious. I thought that was the answer. More with Steve Fezzik right here at the Shield at Bar Canada, the D, on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time. So saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app and get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use promo code VSiN Horse. That's all one word, VSiN Horse. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses and watch the races live right in the app. Download the DK Horse app. Now, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jim Devitt I'm very surprised PGA attorneys do not provide drivers for the players. When on Key Biscayne, the old Miami Open provided cars and drivers for all tennis players, regardless of ranking. And you might remember, Gil, what a traffic CF that was. Oh, yes, they do. But what a tournament in Key Biscayne.
I don't know how each of the individual golf tournaments work, because they usually get the courtesy cars that they all drive. But I guess I would assume there's a driver option, but...
I mean, could you imagine Novak Djokovic rolling up, driving into a tournament?
Yeah,
like that?
It is odd.
Jimmy Lopez, I can never decide what's a better story, the high school acquaintance attempted murder story or the Mike Barrick, Yom Kippur Massacre. It's the Yom Kippur Massacre. The Yom Kippur Massacre is the greatest gambling story ever told, the Todd Wishnev story. Doug Wedge. Our buddy Doug Wedge, Georgia, 25-1, LFG, books need to get it together, not only posting college baseball odds in a timely manner, but also with live betting, much like Field of Dreams. If you build it or post it, they will come. And on with the tweets, we always appreciate it. First of all, we just did the promo for the Preakness. Do you ever bet these Triple Crown races? I never hear you talking about betting these horses.
I'm a follower, so I'm a horse matchup guy. So famously, I don't like making a bet. Imagine, like, oh, I'm going to bet Detroit against the Rams, and then the book will tell me what I'm going to lay right after the game started.
Right. My brain can't handle it either.
They still have the Derby, at the ballrooms at the South Point. And I remember Wishnev, for whatever reason, certain comments land on you. And I remember Wishnev was whatever horse we were betting. He's like, oh, how much are we going to win? I go, we don't know yet. He goes, oh, I forgot about that blank. Right.
So the matchups are the way to go. You lock in a matchup. Example, Kentucky Derby. You got one mutter. You got one non-mutter. They're up against each other. The weather changes. And if it goes bad, you bet on the mutter in a matchup. Things like that.
It's mutters and mutter. Scottie Scheffler, by the way, has just updating his round through five after all the mishugas from this morning. Birdie, bogey, birdie, par, par. So he is one under through five today. Five under for the tournament. Four shots behind the first round leader, Xander Schauffele, who is about to tee off.
Whoever Scheffler's lawyer is who wrote that narrative that he put out, that guy should be hired by everyone, because that was the greatest statement Scotty Scheffler put out ever.
Agree completely. Beyond classy.
Yes.
It's not about me. Someone died here. Let's focus on that and only that. It was beautiful.
Was.
And correct, by the way, and pitch perfect on that. Okay, you wanted to – let's go back to football for a second. Kelly and I sat here like everybody did react to the NFL schedule release. We knew what the opponents were going to be for every team. We just didn't know the sequencing of it. And so we sort of broke down the five easiest schedules based on season win totals. And then, of course, we did the same for the hardest. And the hardest of them all came down to this amazing gauntlet that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have to go through. Their final eight games of the season. By the way, it doesn't start out that easy for Pittsburgh either. They start out at Atlanta, at Denver in elevation, and then the Chargers. But their final eight games, this is legendary, at least on paper. Home Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, home Cleveland, at Philly, at Baltimore, home Kansas City, home Cincinnati. You couldn't make it up worse. And so this, of course, then brings to mind the whole Mike Tomlin thing, which we joke about for all these years. Like, oh, my God, I didn't hear this stat that Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season ever.
What?
Well, if he is going to keep that streak alive, my God, is that going to be a feat? Because I'm just going to sit here and say right now in May, Kelly, that streak is over.
Steve's going to talk me into it, man. I tried to swear off betting against the Miami Heat or Pittsburgh Steelers win totals.
And now, after that diatribe, I give it to Steve Fezzik.
So I have a mental flashback to the movie Gauntlet, and it's like Clint Eastwood and Mike Tomlin are like driving this big city bus, like that's been like, I got this metal like reinforcements, and the entire PD of Dallas is shooting at them to keep them to get from nine wins. That's what's going to happen in these last eight games as Pittsburgh runs the gauntlet. But here's a classic example: the Pittsburgh season win number opens eight.
Yes,
and obviously that's a mistake, because I don't know if you guys are aware.
What?
Tomlin has never had a losing season. So obviously he can have a losing season. We can still push. He goes 8-9. So we're going to bet 8. So the market makes sense. And they bet it up to 8.5. Okay. And now we've had a timber moment where the tree is starting to fall in the forest. And people are like, but wait a minute. Even though we've got these 17 years or whatever it is of history, Pittsburgh's a pretty much average team. And they play not only the most, they don't play a difficult schedule, they play the most difficult schedule in the NFL. The Bengals famously finished last, so they don't even get, you know, fourth place opponents.
Right.
And they have to play 8 straight Super Bowl contenders to end the year. This is the dumbest line ever. So I'm like, I'm having a Gordon Gekko moment from Wall Street. Like last night, like I have this epiphany. So I'm sending out the notes to some of my friends, my movers. And I'm like, Gordon Gekko, I'm like, start buying up Steelers under 8.5, minus 120. Use the offshores and keep it quiet.
That's great.
So we grabbed a bunch of Pittsburgh
keep it
under.
Quiet. Yeah. It's brutality, their schedule. Like, it's brutal. 8 straight Super Bowl contenders.
People are saying Tomlin can win Coach of the Year if he wins 9 games. Well, guess what? You'll only win Coach of the Year if you get a Herculean above-expectation effort. And given that's only half game better, I really think, you know, and I was actually thinking this is the opposite of Drew Dinsick, who, I respect, like, with his alternative win totals and, like, the high variance.
Yes.
There is no way Pittsburgh can win 10 games this year. Yeah. It's like, I almost like, I want to play under 9.5 and like lay, you know, minus 220, because maybe, like, famously, maybe he somehow keeps the streak alive and he gets to 9.
We rarely talk about those, you know, from that side of it, of laying.
Oh, yeah. What you were referring to is Drew has probably articulated it better than anybody, is that probably the best betting vehicle pre-flop in the NFL historically is alternate season win totals. But as Kelly was alluding to, what we were generally referring to were the plus money ones.
Right, yeah.
Especially these rookie quarterbacks. We don't know how good they're going to be. So famously, like, look, last year, like Houston versus Carolina.
That's right.
You know, they're so far away from expectation because one team picked a good quarterback and the other didn't.
All you need to do is look at a final NFL standings and juxtapose it against pre-flop season win totals, and you'll see how many teams fall outside of the standard deviation where these will cash. But what you're saying is that the Steelers example is so stark that the notion of the plus money ones that don't even bother, that you would lay money because it's so ridiculous for them.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, the reason the models, I think, fail is that we have the spreads on every game. You can convert those to money lines and compute the expectations with the standard deviation. But the flaw is that it doesn't take into account injuries and changes in the team's makeup, such that it is unrealistic to think, like, if you told me for the Jets, for instance, all right, if you told me the Jets are going to start the season 2-3, they're donezo. The Jets are going to win 6 or 7 games because they have an easy start
to
the schedule.
Very easy start, yeah.
So by definition, if they have some losses early on, it could be a bumpy road. The Jets could win 6 games this year.
There's no other sport like this, right? Like, the fact that we can get so wrapped up in May for a football season, as we're talking about it, that September through January football feeling starts to get into you.
And missed opportunities. So, like, the Chargers opened 2.5 against the Raiders. So, and I got a small piece of that, and I laid some 3. So think about this. If the Chargers win by exactly 3, and I know it opened 2.5, and it's going to close 4, all right, against the Raiders. If they win by 3, and I don't win a lot of money, I'm like, what am I doing? It's like whenever a game like that with an obvious line with the Bengals open 7, they're going to close double digits. It's like, you got to have gotten a piece of the Bengals already, or else you're just betting too much on the WNBA. By the way, I don't think the Fever are going to have a good year this year.
Do you see that
out
yesterday?
Out of teaser range, man. 9.5 already on that Bengals side of places.
By the way, just a follow-up on the Caitlin Clark story. The Caitlin Clark story from
Liberty's
last.
Still good.
Ticket prices are dropping in these 14,000 seat arenas
across
the country.
They lost, the Fever lost by 36 last night. Caitlin Clark, 9-7-6. She was 2 of 8 from the field. First time she didn't get double digits since she had 8 points against Northwestern in 2021, January of 2021. Real quick, 30 seconds. Survivor. The notion of Christmas Day has 2 days. It's a Wednesday. There's 2 NFL games. There's a game the day after. If the Circa management decides that it's only the 2 games on Christmas as a standalone week, would you even play Survivor?
Oh, of course, because even if you play a bad poker tournament with a bad structure, you have so much dead money that your edge decreases. You still have an edge, and you know they don't rake anything. So you just have to be an average player, you know, to go ahead and play. But Circa will include that game. I'm very confident.
I'm confident they will, too. I'm confident they will. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Steve, for being here.
Thank
Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you. Thank you to Matt Grissom for being in as well. I think Kelly's about to make a Pittsburgh Steelers bet. I may be incorrect. It feels that way. And thanks for sticking through the Scotty Scheffler Michigas again. Is one under through five. We'll see what happens from here. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.